Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Sworn enemy of evil is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected two inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger: the telepathic indicator, by which he is able to pick up thought flashes, and the secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and the Ghost Murder. At the end of a long table in her darkened seance room, Princess Stella, the renowned mystic, sits motionless. Opposite her, a man leans forward, nervous and expectant. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a swirling spiral of white mist appears, takes shape. And from it comes a ghostly voice.
I am the spirit of Martha, your wife. Horace, do not sell our house. We were so happy there. It holds many memories still dear to me. Keep the house, Horace. Keep it. Now I must leave you, but I will come again. I will return. I will return.
Martha! Martha, don't leave me! Come back! Martha! She's gone! Princess Stella, call her back! Call Martha back! Princess Stella! Wake up! Wake up! Help! Help!
What's the matter? What's the matter? What happened?
Well, it's the princess! I can't wake her!
Don't be alarmed. I'll turn up the lights. She must have had a manifestation. It always affects her this way.
Yes, she brought my wife back.
Princess, wake up. Princess Stella. She'll come out of it in a minute. Princess, wake up.
What? Oh, what is it? Oh, it's you, Mr. Jordan.
Yes. Are you all right, Princess? You frightened your client.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Was the seance a success?
Yes. You recalled another spirit for a lonely soul.
Princess... I saw my wife. She spoke to me.
I'm glad.
I think we'd better leave the princess alone now. She must rest.
Of course.
This way.
Well, how much did he pay you, Jordan?
$50, Stella.
Penny.
No, Stella.
Well, I'm getting sick of going through this routine day after day for that kind of money. You promised me...
Have patience, Stella. I told you that before long we'd be cleaning up.
Well,
I meant it.
Well, you'd better pull something out of the hat, or I'll retire. And then where'll you be, Jordan?
Well, Stella, that's no way to talk. After all I've done for you.
After all you've done for me?
Shut up. There's a woman in the waiting room. You've got to see her now.
Yeah, well, she's in for a disappointment. I've had enough of ghosts today.
You've got to see her and talk to her, at least.
Ah, well, all right.
I'll bring her in. Then I have to leave. I have an appointment uptown with a fellow by the name of Brandon.
Mr. Jordan, what can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Brandon, I represent Princess Stella, the mystic. No doubt you've heard of her.
Well, yes, I have.
Well, Princess Stella is going to try for that $50,000 prize the Rollins Estate is offering for a genuine manifestation.
Isn't that rather a waste of the princess' time, Mr. Jordan?
What do you mean?
Well, so far, every medium who has tried for that prize has failed completely. Every so-called manifestation was promptly exposed as a hoax.
Oh, Princess Stella is in a class by herself. Those others were charlatans. Princess Stella is a true psychic. A genuine spirit medium.
Mr. Jordan, suppose you come to the point. What brought you here to see me?
You may be a scientist, Mr. Brandon, yet I feel that some of your ideas may be in sympathy with those of the princess.
Why?
Well, you've written some brilliant articles about your experiments in the field of mental telepathy. So I thought you might be interested in endorsing Princess Stella as a medium. Your word would go a long way in helping
us. Just a minute, Jordan. Let's clarify our terms. My telepathic experiments have to do with the concentrated thought waves of the living. That is a science.
Well, but Princess Stella is
a very clever actress, no doubt. No sale, Jordan.
If we win the Rollins Prize, we're willing to cut you in for 10%.
No, thank you. I'm not interested. As a matter of fact, I'm on the other side of the fence completely.
You mean you're going to fight us?
In a way, yes. You see, I promised Neil Hayden, the Rollins lawyer, to act as a judge when Princess Stella puts in her bid for the prize.
You what?
I'm willing to give your client a fair enough chance. If Princess Stella really can produce a ghost, I'm sure the whole scientific world will sit up and take notice.
Well, thanks for being such a sport about it, Brandon. I think you understand my position. Even a true artist needs a little clever exploitation.
Yes, that seems to be a generally accepted idea.
Anyway, I feel we'll get a square deal from you, Brandon.
I'm merely interested in keeping things in their proper places, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Princess Stella's so-called manifestations belong strictly in the field of entertainment, not to be confused in any way with any branch of science.
Perhaps the princess can convert you. Well, I won't take up any more of your time. I'll see you at the seance next Thursday.
Right, I'm looking forward to it.
I can find my way out. Thanks for the interview.
Not at all. Goodbye.
Well, of all the nerve, trying to offer you a bribe, Jim. That's the limit. I don't see how you kept your temper.
Fern, Jordan is playing for big stakes, and he's not the sort to leave any stone unturned.
Well, I don't trust a man like that. He's not only too glib, but too well-dressed.
He's a dandy, all right. Did you notice the spats?
How could I miss them? Jim, I didn't know you'd been asked to be a judge at this thing.
Yes. Princess Stella is by far the cleverest medium to try for the prize. And Neil Hayden isn't going to take any chances of being duped in carrying out the extraordinary terms of the Rollins will.
Who are the other judges, Jim?
Oh, you've met them both, Professor Gans and Dr. Strong.
Princess Stella isn't going to have an easy time of it.
No. Even though Gans and Strong are constantly at odds, they'll probably agree this once that Princess Stella is a colossal fake.
Jim, can you arrange for me to go to the seance? I don't believe in ghosts, but I would.
But you'd like to see one, huh?
Well, yes, I'd like to see what passes for a ghost.
All right, Fern. But in the meantime, we have a great deal of research to do.
What kind of research, Jim?
We're going to look into all the tricks that mediums use, all the accoutrements that the earthly ghost is heir to. The blaring horns and trumpets, the moving tables and the tilting chairs, and all known devices that have ever passed for ghosts.
Sounds interesting, Jim.
We mustn't underestimate Princess Stella, Fern. This seance will be a kind of challenge, and we can't let science take a back seat.
You're late, Brandon. Strong and I have finished with that side of the room. Nothing unusual there.
You don't mind if Fern and I have a look, Professor Gans?
Well, if you're not willing to take our word for it.
Go ahead, Brandon. There's plenty of time.
Thanks, Strong. This way, Fern.
So this is what a seance room looks like. I always thought they were done in black velvet. This one's completely in white.
Yes, the princess knows the value of contrast. She's a showman, all right. Now for the inventory. White painted walls. White rug that completely covers the floor. 8 straight back white chairs. Help me examine them, Fern.
Right, Jim.
They're all metal. No false bottoms.
Nothing could be hidden in these chairs.
Let's take the table next. That's all metal, too. Examine the legs, Fern.
They're single strips of metal, Jim. Nothing there.
Nothing under the rug.
Jim, there's no place to hide any ghosts in this room.
Certainly doesn't look that way. No windows. In fact, there's only one thing about this entire room that strikes me as a little odd.
What's that, Jim?
There are 4 radiators, 2 at each end.
Well, this is a very large room. In cold weather, I imagine all 4 of them are needed.
They're all cold today.
Are you ready, Brandon?
Yes, Strong, I think so. Oh, just one other thing. Did you and Gans go over the room for hidden wires?
Yes, we covered the walls and floor with a detector.
Guess that takes care of everything, then. I'll tell Jordan we're ready to begin the seance.
Put your flashlight on that corner. There's someone there.
Yes.
Jim, look. Something white. Floating there near the wall. It's a ghost.
I see it, Fern.
Turn on the lights. There's something there, all right.
I'll do it.
Hurry, Jordan. It's gone.
Good heavens, Jim. It must have been a ghost. Look at the Princess Stella. She's in a trance.
Wake up the princess, Jordan. Wake her up.
Of course. Princess Stella. Princess, wake up.
Jim, this is more than I bargained for.
She's coming, too.
What happened?
Brandon, Strong, help me examine this end of the room thoroughly. This sort of thing just isn't possible.
That was the strangest thing I ever saw.
A truly wonderful performance. There doesn't seem to be a trace of anything to mark the passage of that ghost.
Well, fellow scientists, what are we going to do? If we can't explain this manifestation, we have to award the prize to Princess Stella.
Not so fast, Strong.
Well, what do you suggest, Gans?
I don't know. What do you think, Brandon?
There's no denying it. We saw the ghost, and it's up to us to explain exactly what it was and where it came from. I think we'd better call for a repeat performance.
Right. I'll tell Jordan. Jordan, come over here.
Yes? Yes, what is it, Professor Gans?
We're not convinced, Jordan. We're calling for another seance.
No, I cannot. I am exhausted. I cannot.
Princess, the judges are within their rights. The terms of the will stipulate that 2 tests may be demanded.
Oh, I am faint. I cannot go through all this again.
Gentlemen, the princess is nervous and upset. Could we postpone the second seance until tomorrow?
Well, I don't see why not. What do you say, Brandon?
I think that's an excellent idea. Are you agreed, Gans?
Yes. In fact, I prefer that. I've just remembered something that may prove helpful to us. I'll need a little time to check on it.
We'll meet tomorrow, then,
Yes, Jordan. However, I'd like to speak to you privately for a few moments. Now.
Certainly. Come into the other room. This way, please. Now, Professor Gans, what is it?
Have you and the princess traveled much abroad?
Yes, widely.
About 20 years ago, did you bill yourselves as the Countess and the Clown?
Why, no. That must have been... Someone else. Why do you ask?
They were a popular carnival act in Austria when I was teaching there. Something about you two reminded me of them.
Well, the princess and I are not exactly a vaudeville team, Professor.
I wonder what became of that act. I must find out before the seance tomorrow.
Really, Professor, what can that have to do with Princess Stella and the Rollins prize money?
It may have everything to do with it, Jordan. I'm rather certain that the Countess and the Clown are fugitives from justice.
Thank you.
back to the Avenger and the Ghost Murder.
Vern, we can't let Princess Stella get away with this ghost business. There's got to be an answer here in the seance room. Examine that radiator, Vern. I'll take this one.
This one's cold, Jim.
That's strange. This one is warm. Turn it out, Vern. Maybe the heat's turned off.
Okay.
I'll see about the other radiators.
Right, Jim.
Vern, one of these radiators is warm and one is cold.
What do you make of it, Jim?
Don't know yet. I turned the heat on. We'll give them a chance to warm up.
Even though we never held the same ideas, Gans, I never thought you'd deliberately oppose me in a thing like this. I had it on good authority that your vote was the only one against me.
I admit it, Strong. I don't think you're fitted to be head of a research foundation. Such a position requires an older man. Wide experience.
Like yourself, I suppose? So that was the reason for it. You want the position yourself.
Now listen here, Strong. Mind your tongue.
What's the trouble?
Brandon, Professor Gans blackballed me. I'd have been elected head of the Lansdowne Foundation if it hadn't been for him and his petty personal ambition.
This is a matter between you and me, Strong. Let's keep it that way. I voted in good faith for what I believe to be the good of the Foundation.
Your day is coming, Gans. I'll get you for this.
Are you gentlemen ready to begin?
Everyone is waiting.
Well, Jordan, I see you've decided to brazen it out.
If you have anything to say to me, Professor Gans, say it in private.
I'm afraid that won't be possible. My news will be of interest to the public. But I have decided to let you put your show on first. My news can wait.
I'll call everyone in, then.
Just a moment, Princess Stella. Will you sit at this end of the table today?
Very well, Mr. Brandon. It makes no difference to me.
Thank you. Turn out the lights, Jordan. I'll keep my flashlight on you.
All right.
Now, take your place in the circle, and everyone join hands. Hayden will hold my right wrist so that my hand will be free to turn on this flashlight in an instant. There. Are you ready, Princess?
I am ready. I call upon some friendly spirit. Let my voice penetrate these walls and travel on wings of wind. Out there in the vast unknown, I seek a friend, a lonely, unhappy spirit. I would call you back from the dark, lost valley of the beyond. Come, spirit, manifest thyself. The veil is lifting. The boundary between the living and the dead is not a barrier. It is but a frail cloud of mortal man's uncertainty. Come, kind spirit, appear, appear. The spirit approaches. Who calls? Who calls me?
There it is, in the corner. Ghost.
It's there, all right. Keep your hands joined, everyone. I'll turn on the lights.
Hurry, Brandon. It's already disappearing.
It's gone. Jim, look. Professor Gans. He must have fainted.
Help me, Brandon. We'll get him out of here.
Don't touch him, Strong.
Why not?
Look closely. There's a small dagger below his heart.
What?
Professor Gans is dead. Police have confirmed my suspicions, Vern. Professor Gans was killed by a poisoned dagger.
Any prints on it?
It was too smudged to be of any value.
Jim, up until now, I'd never believed in ghosts. But you have to admit that no living person in that room could have thrown that dagger. No one broke the circle for a second.
So you're willing to pin this murder on a ghost?
Well, how do you explain it, then?
The ghost is the only one that we can rule out. Because, you see, there wasn't any ghost.
There wasn't any? But, Jim, we saw it twice.
What we saw was nothing more than a clever mixture of muriatic acid and ammonia vapor released through tiny holes in the dummy radiator. One radiator at each end of the room was a dummy.
But how did the ghost disappear so quickly?
The gas was operated by an automatic pressure gauge in the basement. It was timed to last for 10 seconds. And that spiral whirling effect was due to the intermittent release of air which circulated about the vapor. At the end of 10 seconds... the whole thing was dissolved by a very light spray of ammonia and water, also released from the radiator.
Gosh, I almost believed in that ghost, especially after you placed Princess Stella at the opposite end of the table for the second seance.
That's why they had two sets of radiators in that room, just in case a skeptic made a request like that.
But what of the voice, Jim? It didn't come from anyone in the room. It came from the ghost.
Well, that's easy. Princess Stella is an accomplished ventriloquist.
Well, there goes my ghost story right up the chimney, or I should say right down the radiator.
Fern, I don't want any of this revealed until we know who murdered Gans.
All right, Jim. But I don't see how we're ever going to find that out.
At the moment, neither do I. But we'll keep trying.
Is the inspector still questioning Jordan, Strong, and the princess?
Yes, but he'll have to let them go for lack of evidence.
I wonder if Jordan had time to put on his socks before he went to headquarters.
His socks?
Yes. Our fashion plate disillusioned me. He appeared at that last seance without any socks.
Well, Fern, get your coat. We're going to the gymnasium.
Whatever for, Jim?
I'm interested in seeing a little professional boxing. I've often heard those French savate boxes are something to see.
Stella, what are you doing?
I'm packing, Jordan. I'm going to pull out.
Don't be a fool, Stella. We're under bond. You've got to stay here and stick things out.
You suit yourself. I'm leaving.
Now listen to me, Stella. We still have a chance to pull through all this and win that $50,000 prize. You've got to go through with that seance today.
If we stay here, we'll wind up in jail no matter how the seance turns out.
What are you getting at? The police have no evidence against us. Strong was the only one with a motive for killing Gans. We're in the clear.
You're wrong, Jordan. Jim Brandon knows we had a motive for killing Gans.
Brandon? How could he know anything?
I heard the inspector tell Brandon to search Gans' apartment. Says Gans knows who we were and all about the trouble that you got us into in Vienna. He must have had some proof of it. Brandon has that proof now, and he's just waiting for the proper time to use it.
That does put us in a spot.
We've got to get out of here, Jordan. I'm afraid.
What are you afraid of, Stella? Did you kill Gans?
How dare you say that?
Now, take it easy, Stella. Listen, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll stay here and go through with this seance, I promise you have nothing to fear from Brandon.
What are you talking about, Jordan? You wouldn't
let... Don't worry about what Brandon knows, that's all. Is it a deal?
I don't know. How do I know I'm not next on the murderer's list?
You're being hysterical. Now, come on now. Get things ready for your performance. You make it a good one, Stella. We'll be on Easy Street.
Well, Mr. Jordan, may I speak with you a moment?
Of course, Miss Collier. What is it?
Well, Mr. Brandon is busy at police headquarters and won't be able to get here for the seance.
But he must. This is the final test for the prize.
You're to go on with the seance as usual. It is understood that if you convince Strong and Hayden that Princess Stella has brought about a genuine manifestation, the prize is hers.
All right. I'll call the princess.
We are ready. Close the door, please, Mr. Jordan, and turn off the light.
Yes, Princess.
Jordan, wait a moment. What was that noise?
I don't know. It seemed to come from just outside the door. But there's no one there.
Well, close the door, then, and let's get started. Join the circle, Jordan. Let me warn you all. Do not break the circle, no matter what happens. Let silence reign a moment. Spirit of another world, come to us. Manifest thyself to those who do not believe. Show thyself within this room. Come, spirit, appear, appear and speak. Who are? Who deceives this spirit?
I am the spirit of Alvin Gans.
Something is wrong. Turn on the light.
Stay where you are, all of you. And hear me out. The ghosts of the murdered have a right to speak.
Turn your flashlight on him, Dr. Strong.
There's no one there.
I'm here, but you can't see me.
It cannot be a ghost. It cannot be.
You admit before witnesses, Princess Stella, that you have no power to produce a ghost?
Yes, yes. But tell me who you are.
I am the Avenger, Stella. I'm here to accuse Claude Jordan of the murder of Professor Gans.
It's a lie. That's a lie. This is some sort of trick you're playing on me, Stella.
It's no trick, Jordan. I'll turn on the lights and produce the evidence.
It's a frame-up. Stella!
Strong and Hayden, search Mr. Jordan.
Jordan.
You'll find something interesting there.
Let me go.
Why, there's a small bow and arrow attached to his leg.
And fastened underneath it is a small dagger like the one used to kill Gans.
Yes, go.
That's right.
Strong. Call Inspector White. Tell him Jordan is ready to give him an exhibition of some amazing footwork.
Clue that solved this murder case.
I did. What, Jim?
You noticed that Jordan wasn't wearing socks at the seance when Gans was killed.
Well, how was that a clue?
The thing that had us stumped until then was the certain knowledge that no one at that seance could have used his hands to drive that dagger into Gans' heart.
That's right.
But what if a person were just as dexterous with his feet as with his hands?
You mean he could have thrown the dagger with his feet?
Hardly thrown it, but he could have aimed it with his feet.
Oh, I see. That little bow and arrow fastened to Jordan's leg could be set, aimed, and released by his other foot.
That's right. After I'd figured that out, I realized that the smudge print on the dagger could have been a toe print.
Oh, so that's why we went to the gymnasium to see those savate boxers who boxed with their feet.
Yes. One of those boxers demonstrated my theory of how the crime was committed, without moving the upper part of his body at all.
Jim, just what was it that Professor Gans knew about Princess Stella and Jordan? The motive for the murder?
Jordan was mixed up in a killing in Vienna about 20 years ago that Gans happened to remember. He intended to expose Jordan after the seance that day, and Jordan knew it.
There seems to be no limit to the methods of murder.
Well, they don't give us detectives a chance to grow complacent.
No. This one really had you on your toes.
Oh, a pun, Miss Collier, that some would call a very murderous weapon.
Characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
You know, usually when I make a record, there is some kind of impetus for it, like a strong need to make the music that's being made.
Right.
And in a weird way, the new Luttenbacher's record has that same impetus, which is, right now, loud, aggressive, obnoxious, free music is not very in style.
Right.
And we want to do it with a sort of bloody-minded working class kind of attitude, you know, which is what... In a way, the Flying Luttenbachers always stood for was a more visceral approach to experimental music, not just free music, but other idioms.
Right. Yeah, when it went beyond Hal.
Yeah. When I started the band, I have to say that I'm not that crazy about the band name. I just accept it as an entity at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, every time I say it comes out of my mouth, I feel like someone's looking at me funny, like, what the fuck is this band name? Silly shit.
When I say Flying Luttenbacher, is that usually, to anybody who has a even a slight idea, that means something. Although, the caveat being that I think once the Luttenbachers sort of went on hiatus in 2007, I think a lot of people that I've talked to are like, oh, yeah, what's been happening since then? And it's like, well, you just have don't know how to use Google or something, you know.
Well, because the answer is nothing, basically.
Well, I wouldn't, I mean...
I mean, I've been busy as a
right.
individual, but it's interesting. A band name becomes a brand at some yeah. point, and people expect certain things from it.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like I was saying, I think it's a goofy name because it was very sophomoric. The roots of it are very sophomoric.
Well, it's just Hal Russell's given name, right?
Yeah, well, you know, to go all the way back to the beginning, I moved to Chicago when I was 18 to go to school, and I wanted...
Which school?
I went to Columbia College,
okay, that's...
which is a very cheap...
Yeah.
Private college.
No, I know. I went to school at the Art Institute, so yeah. I was just up the street.
Columbia stinks. I didn't learn a thing. I mean, luckily, it was so cheap. There was no issue of having to get a loan or,
right.
you know, I mean, it was really affordable, but at the same time, academically, it was a total joke. I mean,
right.
it was basically like I regard it as a nursery school for college kids.
Well, and the people who went to Columbia were kind of pissed off at the SAIC people, too, because of this whole class division that they saw that...
Maybe.
In part was accurate, in part not.
Let's just say that I wasn't really relating to a lot of my peers at school, but there were some reasonably accredited instructors who were struggling against the overall dimness of their classes.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel for them because they were trying to do the best they could, but frankly, a lot of the people who went to that school I thought were just fucking dummies. So, I mean... You know, my parents wanted me to go to school because they sort of came to me when I was 18 and finishing up high school, and they're like, so what are you going to do? And I said, well, me and my best friends are going to move to New York City and live in a bus and be in a band. And they're like, oh, yeah? How are you going to buy that bus? And I
right.
just kind of looked at them and went, oh, no. And they're like, you're going to school. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So basically, Columbia was the first place we checked out, and I saw that Hal Russell was there, and I already knew his music somewhat.
Yeah.
And I was interested in him, and I said, well, if he's there, I mean, I want to play free music, and I might as well just go there and play it with him.
Right.
So my parents were like, okay, fine. And I moved into the dorm, and I took some very useless so-called private lessons with Hal Russell, which
okay.
basically...
So he was teaching at Columbia? Or?
He was, yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Hal Russell was teaching private lessons.
Okay.
And I took some drum lessons from him, the only drum lessons I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
Which were basically just rudiments, you know, like paradiddles and this
right.
kind of nonsense. And we got along pretty well because we both had a similar childish sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started jamming and taping our jams, and he thought it would be good to make a group.
Yeah.
Called the Luttenbachers. A friend of mine who I'd met who was sort of a record store clerk and interested in similar kinds of music, Chad Organ,
mm-hmm.
sort of invited himself into the band.
Right.
I didn't stop him, but I was kind of like, I thought he was kind of hijacking it from
yeah.
me at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I sort of begrudgingly was like, okay. And the trio basically turned into the Flying Luttenbachers. Chad and I think Chad was maybe a year or two older than me. We did a lot of rehearsals in Lyons, Illinois. We basically would take the city bus
okay.
to Lyons and meet Hal.
Where's Lyons?
Lyons is, I think, a south suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
So we would take this bus from downtown down to Lyons, and Hal would pick us up in his little car, and we'd drive to his house, and we'd basically do long jam sessions in his attic, and we'd tape them and kind of laugh and talk shit. Ultimately, what we were was his C-list.
Yeah.
Musicians. He basically used us to try out his charts and practice. And basically, he
right.
didn't really have... It turned out he didn't really have any plan of us doing anything other than just jamming in his attic.
Right.
And I kind of realized that at the point where I wanted to play a gig.
Right.
And I got a gig, and I told him about it, and he basically said, well, what's it going to pay, man? And I'm this 19-year-old kid. I come from real kind of like working class, lower middle class background. I mean, I don't have any money. I mean, there's no silver spoon, and I was pretty feral as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't see cause and effect in a lot of things for quite a long time. So when Russell asked me how much he was going to get paid to do this gig, I just kind of like pulled the pocket liners out of my pants and like shrugged my shoulders, and he went, well, man, I don't think I can make this gig. And I was like really crestfallen. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, I'm going to play my first big gig in Chicago and Hal won't do it? What am I going to do?
Right.
So.
Er is een camping en er is corona geconstateerd. En de mensen wordt aangeraden te liegen en te zeggen dat ze niet op de camping zaten, maar dat ze een huisje hebben gehuurd. Ik vind het heel bedenkelijk.
Dat is heel bedenkelijk. Wie heeft dat zo bekokstoofd? Dat is niet goed. Iemand die moet in functie ontzet worden. Wie raadt iemand aan te liegen over zijn verblijf tijdens een corona-uitbraak? Is dat de gemeente geweest?
Nee, dat is de
huismakelaar. Wie is het geweest?
De camping zelf. Maar ik zal je daar een e-mail over sturen.
De camping zelf. Oké, dat zijn particulieren. Dat zijn boeren uit de polder. Yes, dat is hetzelfde in overal ter wereld. Die mensen denken niet, die slaan. Dat is niet goed, dat is niet fijn. Nee, Chris, dat klopt.
Als ze dingen doen, dan moeten ze niet verbaasd zijn als ze op storfhonger.org terechtkomen. Want daar pas ik ook.
Ja, dat is dus het punt. Dit is rechtsgeweld. Dat is... Oh! Ja, ik ben wel wakker wat dat betreft, Chris. Martin, je houdt me ook wakker bij dit soort nieuws. Maar zoals jij het nu vertelt, dat is inderdaad alarmerend. Ja.
Ja.
Ja, 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 ja. Wij leven in een tijd dat we weten gewoon dat die spanning die hoog oploopt,
ja,
dat die uiteindelijk in oorlogen eindigen. Dat is een gegeven voor ons, toch?
Ja.
Wat doet er om? Hoe ga jij daarmee om? Hoe ga jij daarmee om? Hoe ga jij daarmee om? Kun jij met de mogelijkheid dat je internet wordt afgesloten?
Ik vraag me af, wat doet de wijder van een huis in een oorlog?
Wat doet wie?
De meeste van mijn kapitaal zit in mijn huis. Dus ik vraag me af, wat doet de wijder van een huis in een oorlog?
De meeste mensen van waarde zitten in een huis. Dus je vraagt je wat af?
De meeste van mijn waarde...
Ja.
Zit in mijn huis.
Ja.
Dus ik vraag mij af, wat doet de waarde van mijn huis in een oorlog?
Oké. Je bent net als ik in het stadium dat je denkt van, nou ja, oké, hier is geen houden meer aan. Zoals Andreas zei, laat Litouwen die Wit-Rusland maar weer doen. Die hebben dat eerder gedaan tenslotte, weliswaar 300 jaar geleden, maar dat klopt. Dat is een gegeven. De Balten. Kijk, de bevolking van Wit-Rusland, zoals wij het in Nederland door de eeuwen heen genoemd hebben, op basis van de Russische vertaling van Wit-Rusland, Belarus, weet je wel, en niks, Republika Belarus, weet ik veel, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, Chris, de geschiedenis herhaalt zich voortdurend. De waarde van jouw huis daalt tijdens de oorlog, maar het is geen reden om je huis te verkopen of wat, dat kun je niet eens. Enzovoorts, het maakt jou niet uit. Je kunt er hoog uit. Hoor je mij goed eigenlijk?
Ja, ik hoor je goed. Maar ik wil wel liever overschakelen op de laptop, want je zit nu op de...
Dat kan ik niet. Ik kan wel naar de iPad. Kan ik...
Nee, ik ga overschakelen. Jij hoeft niet over te schakelen, ik ga overschakelen.
Ben ik benieuwd of dat kan. Dit is een Skype-gesprek, hè?
Ja.
Oké. Chris schakelt over. Skype-gesprek wordt overgeschakeld. Ik ben zo benieuwd. Neem jij ook op?
Nee, ik neem niet op. Ik zie staan oproep gestart, maar ik die geen mogelijkheid om over te schakelen eigenlijk.
Nee, dat dacht ik al. Welk systeem heb je opgestart?
Ik heb zowel mijn mobieltje als mijn laptop opgestart en ik heb je net op een mobieltje.
Okay,
ik wil je op je laptop hebben.
Ik snap het. Je wilt hem op de computer hebben, dan is de kwaliteit wat makkelijker. Ja.
Ja. Maar dat werkt niet.
Je bent nog steeds op het mobieltje aan je foto, aan je weergave te zien.
Ik ben nog steeds.
Oké, dat duurt altijd een poos. Dat is een lang. Je hebt toch een redelijk nieuwe laptop?
Ja.
Ja. Wat is jouw?
Ik weet niet, 3 jaar misschien?
3 jaar, oké. Okay. Toen had je hem nieuw.
Hoe lang was hij mee?
Toen had je hem nieuw, 3 jaar geleden. Of wat? Waar is mijn video? Oh, daar. Ja, ja, ja. Oké. Okay. Blijf maar op je mobieltje. Je moet hem. Kun je nu Skype starten of nog steeds niet?
Ik kan Skype wel starten, maar ik krijg daar geen beeld.
Oké. Okay.
Skype is gestart, maar ik heb geen beeld. Ik heb op mijn mobieltje wel beeld.
Oké, laat het daar, als het je niet uitmaakt. Anders moet je je mobieltje even uitzetten. En dan kijken wat Skype op je laptop doet. Theoretisch hoort je dat wel aan te kunnen, heb ik altijd begrepen. Misschien moet je wat meer geduld hebben. Of is de stroom weg?
Yeah. Oh, hope so.